السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تقولن لشيء إني فاعل ذلك غدا إلا أن يشاء الله. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. Prior to the month of Rabi'ul Awwal, we were discussing the topic of tarbiyah, the importance of nurturing and the upbringing of our children. And thereafter, once the month of Rabi'ul Awwal began, we began to study and discuss some aspects of the seerah of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Hazrat Hakimul Ummat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi would mention, that it is only natural for a person to remember and speak about the great personality of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this month of Rabi'ul Awwal, in which he was born. But in reality, the two topics can both be connected and spoken about in this very month of Rabi'ul Awwal. The reason being is that when a person takes a glance at the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will come to realize that the entire seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was nothing but tarbiyah. His entire seerah was tarbiyah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself mentions that innama bu'ithtu li'utammima makarimal akhlaq, that the only reason I was sent into the world was to perfect the good characteristics and the good traits of mankind. In other words, I was sent to nurture and carry out the upbringing of the humankind. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself was a murabbi, someone who carries out tarbiyah. And we can find this when we study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how he would nurture each and every individual who came in front of him. This is why before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left this world, he was in a state where he could claim that I have perfected the characteristics and the traits of all of my companions, of all the Sahaba, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was this amazing individual who had the ability to nurture those who came in front of him. But who would nurture the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Because there was no human being who was greater than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that أَدَّبَنِي رَبِّي فَأَحْسَنَ تَأْدِيبِي. My tarbiyah was carried out by Allah Ta'ala Himself. And when Allah Ta'ala nurtured me, then He nurtured me in an excellent manner. And we find this in the glorious Quran in different places where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, despite being the greatest, despite being the best, despite not being able to commit any sins, but upon the slightest and the smallest of mistakes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would admonish him and reprimand him. And through there would be a valuable lesson for the humans until the day of Qiyamah. From amongst these, one example is the incident which prompted the revelation of Suratul Kahf. So Suratul Kahf is that surah which we normally recite on the day of Jumu'ah, on the day of Friday. Those who recite Suratul Kahf on the day of Friday, we make dua to Allah Ta'ala, He gives them the ability to continue to do so until they breathe their last. And those who do not recite Suratul Kahf, then they should make an intention to recite Suratul Kahf every Friday. Because there are virtues for this, there are benefits for this. Inshallah, on another occasion, we will discuss this. So what prompted the revelation of this surah? The Mufassirin, they mention that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began to invite the people towards Islam in Makkatul Mukarramah, then the disbelievers found it very difficult to come to terms with this, that this individual is calling people towards this new religion. He is inviting them to believing in one Allah. So they didn't know what to do. So they were given this advice that in Madinatul Munawwara there are some Jewish scholars. So go to these Jewish scholars and see what they have to say regarding Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Uqba bin Abi Mu'id and Nadhr bin Harith, these two individuals were sent to Madina Munawwara. The Jewish scholars, they said to these two individuals that go back to Makkah Mukarramah, and this man who claims to be a prophet, ask him with regards to three things. Pose three questions to him. If he is able to answer, then he definitely has to be the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because there is no way a person can have knowledge with regards to this. But if he fails to answer, then you can be rest assured that he is not the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number one, ask him with regards to ruh. What is the ruh, which we translate as the soul? Ask him with regards to the reality of the ruh and the soul. Number two, ask him with regards to the incident of those youth who, after accepting Iman, they had to flee from their locality because they knew that if they are found practicing upon the religion of the time, then their lives will be at risk. And number three, ask them with regards to that individual who traveled the entire world, the East and the West. So these three questions are posed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would only answer when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send down wahi and revelation upon him. He would never say anything from his own self. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. The Quran says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would never speak from his own whims and his own desires. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ يُوحَى. Whatever he would say, whatever he would utter, would be wahi and revelation. Whether you're in the moment of great excitement, sometimes when a person is very happy or very excited, he says something which is against the reality. And sometimes when a person is extremely angry or extremely sad, grief overtakes him. Again, he may utter something which later on he will regret. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, no matter what situation he was in, he would never be overcome by any emotion. This is why Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that I would write down everything Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would say and utter. I would write it down. So some of the companions, they came to me and they said that you write down everything which he says. But sometimes he's a human, he may be overcome by emotion and he may say something which he doesn't mean. So you should look at the situation and thereafter write it down. So Abdullah bin Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu, he came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said that this is what some of my companions are advising me, that I shouldn't write down everything that you say. So upon this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Uktub ya Abdullah. O Abdullah, write and write everything I say. Why? Fa'inni la aqulu illa haqqa. I can only utter the truth with this tongue. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whatever he would say would be because Allah ta'ala has inspired him to say that. So when they came with these three questions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them that at this moment in time, I do not know the answers to these questions. So come back tomorrow and I will inform you of the answers tomorrow. And the thought process was that by tomorrow Allah Ta'ala will send down Jibreel alayhi salam with the answers. He will inform me and thereafter I will inform them of the answers. Which is what would normally happen whenever there was a need for wahi and revelation. Jibreel alayhi salam would come down with that wahi and revelation. Now one day passed and there was no revelation. Day two, still no revelation. Day three, still no revelation. 10 days passed, still no revelation. Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned different opinions of the commentators. From amongst them, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi takes the opinion that 15 days passed. So 15 days and there's no wahi and there's no revelation. Now you can understand what was going on in Makkatul Mukarrama. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going through this anxiety that where is the wahi and where is the revelation? I need to answer these people. And in Makkatul Mukarrama, everyone is talking now that see, he couldn't answer the questions, which means he's not the Prophet of Allah. And the party began very quick, more sooner than it should have. After 15 days, Jibreel alayhi salam is sent down with wahi. And what is the wahi? Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that the entire Suratul Kahf was sent down in one go. 110 ayat of the Quran. When you haven't done sabak for 2 weeks, then the sabak has to also be long. Now try saying that to a Hifz class student, that because you haven't learned for 2 weeks, tomorrow's sabak is 110 ayat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam receives 110 verses of Suratul Kahf, all in one go. And Anas radiallahu anhu says that when Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam was sent down with Suratul Kahf, he was escorted by 70,000 angels. Just imagine that scene. That it's Makkatul Mukarrama, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is anticipating the arrival of wahi through Jibreel alayhi salam. And after 15 days when he finally receives wahi, Jibreel comes down with 70,000 angels and the whole Suratul Kahf is revealed. The whole Suratul Kahf. There are two surahs regarding which we find that 70,000 angels were sent with the surah, and the entire surah was revealed in one go. One is this surah, Suratul Kahf, and the other is Suratul An'am. So anyway, the whole Suratul Kahf is revealed. Now, in Suratul Kahf, with many other things, keeping to today's topic, one is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He answers the question with regards to Ashab-e Kahf, the people of the cave. One of the questions was that inform us regarding those youth. So from نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَاهُمْ هُدَى. Allah Ta'ala mentions the entire incident of the people of the cave. Number two, they asked with regards to that man who traveled the entire world, the east and the west. His name was Dhulqarnain. So from وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنْ ذِلْقَرْنَيْنِ قُلْ سَأَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. Allah Ta'ala gives the second answer. The third question was regarding the ruh and the soul. Allah Ta'ala did not give this answer in Suratul Kahf, rather He revealed a very concise verse in Surah Banu Israel. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ قُلِ الْرُوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوْتِيتُم مِنَ الْإِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. This is in Surah Banu Israel. This is why Surah Banu Israel and Suratul Kahf are together in the Quran. So we find all three answers. Two are in Surah Kahf, one's in Surah Banu Israel. But together with these three answers, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonishes and reprimands our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this very surah, through which he teaches us a very important lesson. And what is that lesson? وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that never ever say that I am going to do this tomorrow, except that you should first say Insha'Allah. So what happened here? When they came with the questions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will inform you of the answer tomorrow. And he didn't say Insha'Allah. But he was the Prophet of Allah. His mind was definitely towards Allah. It's not that he said that I am going to answer you tomorrow from my own side. In his mind, it was already there that Allah will inform me. Allah will send down Jibreel and thereafter I will inform you. But this slight mistake which he made, that he didn't say Insha'Allah with his tongue, which was mustahab. It's preferable to say Insha'Allah. It's not even farz or wajib. It's something mustahab. But hasanatul abrar sayyiatul muqarrabin. There is a saying in Arabic, hasanatul abrar sayyiatul muqarrabin. That when the pious, they do a certain act, it will be praised. It will be regarded as a very good deed. But the muqarrabin, the very close servants of Allah, they do that same deed, they are reprimanded upon it. Because of their close nature to Allah Ta'ala, their level has to be on a completely different level. So he didn't say Insha'Allah. So because he didn't say Insha'Allah, for 15 days there was no wahi and revelation. And after 15 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the whole Surah Kahf, in which we find this etiquette, that whenever you say, I am going to do this tomorrow, or next week, or next month, or next year, when you intend to do something, you should always say, Insha'Allah, and then say, I am going to do this. And we find many examples in the Quran and Hadith, from which we can understand the benefits of saying Insha'Allah, and the harm of not saying Insha'Allah. In Suratul Baqarah, there is an incident where the people wanted to know who a murderer was. Somebody carried out murder. Now they didn't know who carried out the murder. So they came to Musa alayhi salam, who was the Prophet of Allah. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding you to slaughter a cow. You will slaughter the cow. Once you've slaughtered the cow, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant life to that person who has been killed. He will inform you that this is the person who murdered me. But first you have to slaughter a cow. It's very simple. All they had to do is slaughter a cow. But they began to ask questions. How old will the cow be? What should the color of the cow be? What other attributes should there be in the cow? They made it very difficult for themselves. So in the Quran, we find in Surah Al-Baqarah that on the third occasion they said, وَإِنَّا إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهُ لَمُهْتَدُونَ. That if Allah wills, insha'Allah, then we will be guided towards this cow. The Mufassireen mentioned under the commentary of this ayah, if they did not say insha'Allah, they would have carried on asking questions and they would never have found this cow. But because they said insha'Allah, after this third occasion, they were able to find the cow they were looking for. Sulaiman alayhi salam, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi narrates a hadith that on one night Sulaiman alayhi salam said that I will visit all 100 wives of mine. He had 100 wives. This was something which was allowed for this particular prophet. And this also shows us the strength Allah Ta'ala grants to a prophet. He said, I will visit all 100 wives of mine. And each and every one of them will conceive. And after they give birth to a child, I will make all of these 100 boys go out in the path of Allah and fight in the path of Allah. But what happened? 99 of those women, they didn't conceive. And one of them did conceive, but this child was also born with some defect. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, after narrating this incident, that had Sulaiman said, insha'Allah, all 100 wives would have conceived, they would have all given birth to a boy, and all those boys would have fought in the path of Allah. But he didn't say, insha'Allah. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam is told to go and visit Khadir alayhi salam. So he goes with his companion Yusha ibn Nun. Musa alayhi salam says to his companion that when we are traveling on this journey, the place and the location where we are going to find Khadir alayhi salam is when this fish which we have, it hops out of our luggage and into the ocean. So make sure you inform me when this happens. Now they stop for a break. Musa alayhi salam goes to sleep. And Yusha ibn Nun sees that the fish has hopped out into the ocean. So he says in his mind that I will inform Musa when he wakes up. Let him rest for now. When Musa alayhi salatu wasalam wakes up, they continue with the journey. And they travel for an entire 24 hours. After 24 hours, Musa alayhi salam says to Yusha ibn Nun that this journey is very tiresome. I'm extremely tired now, I'm extremely hungry, and we're not finding that location. So Yusha ibn Nun says, I've just remembered yesterday when you fell asleep and you are resting at that location, that's when the fish hopped out of the ocean. Now they have to travel 24 hours back. So they travel 24 hours this way, 24 hours this way, 48 hours extra. Why? The Mufassirin mentioned, because when Yusha ibn Nun said, I will inform Musa after he wakes up, he forgot to say, Insha'Allah. In the incident of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, again it's in Surah Al-Kahf, they instructed Dhul-Qarnayn to erect a wall. So that, not Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the people, they instructed Dhul-Qarnayn that erect a wall because this Ya'juj and Ma'juj are causing havoc. They are not letting us live in peace. So Dhul-Qarnayn, he builds this very large wall so that Ya'juj and Ma'juj cannot come onto this side. Now under the commentary of these verses, we find that daily Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they are trying to break down this wall so that they can come over this wall and once again come onto the land, onto the earth. But they are unable to do so. What do? Every day they try to bring this wall down until they reach the very last layer. But when they reach the very last layer, it's night time. So they say to one another that it's night, we've been working all day, we're tired. This final phase of this project will finish tomorrow. But when they come the next morning, the whole wall is again as it was. And they have to start their work right from the beginning. And this will continue until Allah Ta'ala wants them to come through. What will happen on that day? On that day they will say, or somebody from Ya'juj and Ma'juj will say, that tomorrow we will continue with this work, insha'Allah, if Allah wills. And when they will wake up in the morning, there will only be that final phase left, and they will be able to break through. So from here we understand the importance of saying insha'Allah and the harms of not saying insha'Allah. And when do we say insha'Allah? So it's better to say insha'Allah at the beginning of the sentence. Because what did Musa alayhi salatu wasalam say to Khadir? He said, Satajiduni insha'Allahu sabiran. You will find me, if Allah wills, from the patient ones. The Hakim ul-Ummat Hazrat Tanwi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, in here there is an indication that insha'Allah should come at the beginning of the sentence, not at the end of the sentence. So one is a person says, I will come to your house tomorrow, insha'Allah. But it's better to say, insha'Allah, I will come to your house tomorrow. So from here we learn some lessons or some benefits of saying insha'Allah, and likewise the harms of not saying insha'Allah. So this is just one small etiquette that we learn from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise from the Quran. From here we can understand that, imagine if we were to study the entire Quran and the entire seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how many valuable lessons which we will learn, and how much benefit we will get from this in this worldly life also, in the hereafter also. And we will save ourselves from so much harm in this worldly life also, and in the hereafter also. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability to practice upon this one lesson also, that we always say insha'Allah when we intend to do something. We should teach our children to get into a habit of also saying insha'Allah. And likewise, we should try to learn the Quran as well as the lessons from the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we may benefit in this world as well as in the hereafter. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدْ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ. Please stand up in your places and complete the rows. Quickly move forward and fill in all the empty gaps.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Brothers are reminded tomorrow after Asr Salah, our weekly Dars-e Quran will be taking place. So all brothers are requested to participate. And brothers are requested to donate generously towards the running cost of the masjid on the way out. So.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Hayya 'alas-salah. Hayya 'alas-salah. Hayya 'alal-falah. Hayya 'alal-falah. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. La ilaha illallah.
Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa nabiyyana wa mawlana Muhammadan abdullahi wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق المحارم تكن أعبد الناس أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المؤمنين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي وفاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين. اللهم اغفر للعباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا. الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم ومن آذاهم فقد آذاني ومن آذاني فقد آذى الله ومن آذى الله فيوشك أن يأخذه. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم انصر من نصر دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واجعلنا منهم واخذل من خذل دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تجعلنا معهم. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلدان المسلمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, hayya 'alas salah, hayya 'alas salah, hayya 'alal falah, hayya 'alal falah. قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله الحمد لله Mm-hmm.